Now, a visit to a hospital in Ethiopia that's dealing with a leading cause of death for women in developing countries, complications during childbirth. Many of those who survive endure a lifetime of agony from severe internal injuries. NPR's Brenda Wilson has our story, which contains some disturbing material.
The five young girls, all of them are young, three really are girls, sit in wide-eyed silence, wrapped, it seems, in the hospital's quiet. Addis Ababa's Fistula Hospital is the best chance for treatment and recovery many of them will ever have. A girl who appears to be no more than a child peeks in the doorway of a nurse's office.
She's afraid.
She finally eases into a chair beside nurse Bethlehem Tesfai, who is translating for us.
She said, I'm 10. I think I'm 10.
You think you're 10?
I don't know.
12 is more like it. In no time at all, the shyness gives way to a kind of playfulness as she tells us who she is.
Fanta.
Fanta?
Fanta Andre.
Are you married?
Ah.
I understood that. How long have you been married?
4 years.
4 years?
Fantanda Ray didn't go to live with her husband until 2 years ago. Last July, she went into labor with her first child.
Labor starts on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday they took me to Desi Hospital.
By then the baby was dead and Fantanda Ray was severely injured, not having received medical attention until she got to the hospital. There are few health workers or skilled specialists to assist rural women during childbirth. More often, it's other women nearby who have only experience to go on. That was all that was available to 18-year-old Hadassah Abrahams.
When I was in labor, they were pushing my abdomen, and I was suffering a lot. They were holding me, and I was screaming.
The injuries she suffered were the beginning of a humiliating condition she has endured for the past year.
After I get home and I start to leak stools and urine, then I get very sad. I start to wash myself and to cover it with some piece of clothes.
Hadassah's is an extreme case. Usually, just the bladder is involved. But nothing stops the leaking. Many insert stones and rags in the vagina. They are afflicted with horrible infections and a constant terrible smell. The women are often abandoned by husbands and families and become outcast in the community. Hadassah's family brought her here to the Addis Ababa Fistula Hospital, where Ruth Kennedy works.
I'm a midwife, I'm a 54-year-old woman, and I see these girls and it breaks my heart.
Kennedy explains that obstruction in labor often occurs because the mother's pelvis is too small for the baby's head, or the baby is in the wrong position as it emerges from the womb.
What happens is you have the mother's bony pelvis and the baby's bony head squeezing to death the tissue in between the bony pelvis and the bony head. This tissue that's squeezed to death falls out. In its wake, there's a raw edge on the bladder, a raw edge on the vagina that seal together and create an opening. This is a fistula.
In Kennedy's 23 years in Africa, she has come to understand firsthand just how poverty contributes to this tragedy.
Poverty is why the little girl at the age of 2 is taught to carry a water jar. It's a small water jar, but by the age of 10, 11, 12, she's carrying all the wood for cooking, all the water for washing purposes or cooking purposes. This consumes enormous calories for this small child. And the little girl, she loses stature, and her bony pelvis is small.
Kennedy now works for New Zealander Dr. Catherine Hamlin, who in 1971, with her late husband, founded Addis Ababa Fistula Hospital. This 140-bed facility is supported by a non-profit foundation. It is not so much sterile as a sterling place of low-lying buildings shaded by trees. a hushed place with wards of gleaming white walls and floors that reflect the green and light streaming in through the windows. Rows and rows of small women lie in the beds.
They come here, we put them in a bed with white sheets. So they've been sleeping on a goat skin in their village, but it doesn't mean that that's the way we treat them in our hospital. We give them a nightdress, we give them a shawl.
In some instances, medicine, proper nourishment, and exercises to strengthen the bladder and pelvic muscles solve the problem. In most cases, however, surgery will be necessary to repair the fistula. Head surgeon Brooke Tafesser left his position at the University of Addis Ababa to work at the hospital.
When I was here as a resident, I see these patients and I see the suffering. Then I decided I have to help these patients.
The typical patient is between the age of 15 and 20. Some are younger, and there are older women who've lived with the fistulas for years. That, he says, can disable them because they've kept to their beds or crouched in corners.
They are trying to prevent this leakage. They are hiding at the same time also.
So muscles become rigid and the women have difficulty walking. Tafesser shows us a room at the hospital devoted entirely to physical therapy. There are women on exercise machines and a girl lying on her stomach as the therapist helps her to flex her knees. As we enter another ward, a woman is crying out and flailing about.
After passing through all these problems, they develop psychiatric problems. Depression, suicidal attempt. We recently employed a psychiatric nurse.
A lot of emphasis at the hospital is on attending to the psychological impact of enduring such pain and isolation. But even with treatment, psychological and physical problems can persist. Some will have to wear an external bag to collect urine or feces for the rest of their lives. Most women who have had obstetric fistulas will never be able to have children, and in many instances, not even sex. Such women are considered useless. A notion that isn't entirely disturbing to young Miss Lisha Grew, who didn't want to get married in the first place. As a cloudburst breaks the quiet outside, Shagru looks forward to returning home and a new life.
When I go back to home, I want to learn. I just want to go to school.
You don't want to be with your husband anymore?
If God says.
Obstetric fistulas need never happen, and they seldom do in the United States and other Western countries. When there are complications during delivery, there's usually a hospital or a doctor nearby, someone who can perform a cesarean. Like most poor countries, Ethiopia suffers from brain drain. There are now more Ethiopian doctors in the city of Washington, D.C., than in all of Ethiopia, a country of more than 70 million people. Brenda Wilson, NPR News.
As Brenda mentioned, child marriage is a huge issue in rural Ethiopia. The country has one of the highest rates in the world. You can watch a narrated slideshow exploring the issue at npr.org.